Thank you for being here. It's good to be here, isn't it? Be here with our brothers and sisters, people that we love and care about. As we look forward to the coming week and getting together with family members and enjoying that fellowship, this fellowship that we have is precious. And it's easy, relatively. All you have to do is get out of your car, get out of your house, get in your car, drive over here, and sit here in this comfortable place, and sit in these comfortable pews, and sing your heart out and pray. And it's easy. And yet sometimes we struggle to do it. Imagine how difficult it would be if it was against the law. It could be against the law. It is against the law in many countries. What we're doing here right now is illegal in many countries of the world today. And it might be in this country one day. It might. And I would suggest to you that if you don't think that's possible, that you're not paying attention. I want to talk to you for a few moments today about persecution. We've been talking about overcoming the world. And this is going to be my last sermon on this series about persecution, because that's something that we've got to overcome. That's something we've got to beat. Persecution. And it hasn't been too bad in the past in this country, but it's starting to occur. And who knows where that will end. And we need to be prepared for it. We need to be prepared to be persecuted. Because that's part of overcoming the world. And it always has been. We've been looking at these passages. This one here in John chapter 5 and verse 4. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Faith. You know, the man who wrote that, he wrote it at a time in which the religion of Christianity was illegal. It was against the law. It wasn't just against the law to assemble. It wasn't just against the law to proclaim Christ. It was against the law to be a Christian. All you had to do was to confess and say, "I am a Christian." And you could be sentenced to death. And many people were. John himself was arrested. He was tortured. According to tradition, put in boiling oil. He survived miraculously, and he was exiled to the island of Patmos, and that's where he wrote the book of Revelation. John knows a little bit about what it takes to overcome the world through his faith. John also wrote this, John 16, verse 33, where Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world." And Jesus said that a few hours before his death by crucifixion. So, how can Jesus, how can John talk about overcoming the world when the world looked like it was winning? The world was persecuting, killing, hurting Christians. What's this business about overcoming in a context like that? Well, you know, being a Christian means being persecuted. It just does, because the world is evil and we're trying to be good. And evil doesn't like good. And evil doesn't have qualms about harming and hurting and attacking. And if you're going to be good in an evil world, then sometimes the evil is going to have at you. It's going to attack you. And if you don't think that's going to happen, then you're not, it's like I said, you're not paying attention. You're not listening. We will be persecuted. We are being persecuted. Maybe you're not aware of that. When I get on the internet and when I open the newspaper and when I turn on my TV, I constantly see messages that are derogatory to my faith in Jesus Christ. You're seeing these or not. Maybe you're just not paying attention. But the world is attacking our faith. The world makes light of our faith. They do it in stories, in entertainment, in fiction. They do it in politics. They do it in the workplace. It's happening. And it's going to get worse, in my opinion. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you for a fact what's going to happen, but I believe it's going to get worse. It's gotten worse in my lifetime. I see a trend. It doesn't take a genius to see where things are going. We must expect to be persecuted. Because the only way to avoid it is to stop practicing your faith. And we can't allow that. What the world wants you to do is it wants you to shut up. Stop talking about Jesus. Stop talking about your faith. Certainly don't talk about the morality of Jesus. Because that's offensive. You see, evil is offended by the truth. It always has been offended by the truth. And if you say certain things are immoral, that are immoral, well, then you're offending someone. And if you're offending them, then you're a bad guy. And you need to be punished. You need to be put right. So what do we do? Well, the temptation is stop talking about it. That's what the world wants. The world wants you to shut up. So shut up. I'll leave you alone. But that's not overcoming the world. Or the world will make you say the right thing. You go to a college campus and you go to certain classes and the professor is going to make you say certain things. He's not only going to make fun of your faith, he's not only going to deride Christianity, he's going to insist that you agree. And if you don't agree, you may not pass that class. You may be kicked off campus. I don't know. I'm glad I'm not going to college today. So what do? Well, you toe the line. Say what you have to say. Get through the class. Get your grade. But that's not overcoming the world. You're in the workplace. And you go to some kind of class where they say, okay, this is the way you got to think about this. And you got to agree to this. And if you don't agree to this, well, your future in this company is not very good. So what do? Well, let me tell you, as your preacher, what you can't do. You cannot allow persecution to affect your faith. Say what you believe, and you've got to say, this is who I am. This is my faith. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the teaching of Jesus. And I'm not going to agree with what you're saying. And let the chips fall where they may. And that's what you're going to have to do. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to get increasingly more and more difficult to do that. I don't want you to suffer. I'm not asking you to suffer needlessly, but the Lord is trying to let you know something here today. We're going to read some passages in a moment, and it'll be perfectly clear to you. Now, don't get discouraged about this. And that's the natural reaction. You say, well, you say I've got to be a Christian in a world that's increasingly antagonistic to Christianity, and that means I'm going to come under fire, and I'm going to be insulted, and I'm going to be derided, and in some cases I'm going to financially or even perhaps physically suffer. Yes. Well, isn't that discouraging? Well, it can be, but it shouldn't be. Because that is what it means to overcome the world. That's not losing. You need to understand that when we are persecuted for our faith, that is not losing. That is winning. That's what it means to overcome the world. We should see it as victory, because that's what it is. It's victory. Now let's look at some passages. Matthew 5 and verse 11. Blessed are you when insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You think that being a Christian means you're going to be persecuted? Jesus is not... He is not cryptic about that. He does not hide that in the fine print at the bottom. He says this right out of the gate. You want to follow me? Take up your cross. That's not the kind of message most advertisers want to put out there, you know. But Jesus is honest. And Jesus is true. And He's telling you that if you are a Christian, if you follow me, people are going to insult you. And people are going to persecute you. And when that happens, you're blessed. He says, rejoice. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad. Now that seems counterintuitive. Why would I rejoice and be glad if somebody's insulting me and deriding the most precious convictions that I have and belittling me and trying to hurt me? Why would I be glad about that? Because you're winning? Yeah. You're winning. You're winning your soul, and you're doing the best thing that you can to win their soul. May not look like it. But I can tell you this. If you toe the party line and you don't speak up and you just hide your faith, that person is going to be lost. And they may be lost either way. But when you stand up for your faith and you say, look, Jesus is the Son of God, and He is the ruler of this world, and we have to answer to Him. This is what Jesus says. They may get angry. They may not like what you have to say. But they have a chance. That's winning. But more than that, in this verse, you have delivered your soul. Your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see this book? This book was written by men who were murdered. They were executed. They were beaten. They were thrown in prison. Paul wrote half the New Testament. He was executed. Peter was executed. John, as I say, he was arrested. He was tortured. He was exiled. James, the brother of Jesus, was executed. Jesus was executed. The prophets were executed. This is what you've signed up for. This is Scripture. This is holy, sacred Scripture written by murdered men. Rejoice. They persecuted the prophets. We follow the teaching of the prophets. We follow the teaching of Jesus Christ. Rejoice. Be glad. Your reward in heaven is great. John 15 and verse 8. Jesus says this again the evening before his own crucifixion. If the world hates you, understand it hated me first. You know, there's nothing about Jesus that any right-thinking person would hate. What did he do? Healing people. Miracles that fed people. He was generous and kind. He was loving and compassionate to everyone he met. The only people he criticized and condemned were hypocrites who preyed upon other people. Never harmed anybody. Only spoke the truth. They hated him. They hated him. They despised Jesus. The Pharisees, the priests, the rulers, they despised Jesus because he showed them for the hypocrites that they were. And they killed him because of it. And Jesus is saying, you don't think that when you espouse my cause, they won't do the same thing to you? They most certainly will. When we confront the hypocrisy and the malice and the evil of this world, and we point out the flaw in their materialistic, self-serving, narcissistic, fleshly selfishness, when we point that out, you don't think they're going to hate us? They will. They do. Understand that. Romans 8 and verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Well, it might. It could. It can. It will in the lives of some people. Will it in yours? Paul's confident declaration is this: it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long, we are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Well, how is that conquering? It absolutely is. It is conquering. Dying for the Lord is conquering. Suffering for the Lord is conquering. Standing up and saying the truth and being berated for it, that's conquering. I'm not talking about being ugly to people. Jesus was never ugly to anybody. I'm not talking about being insulting and kind. Quite the opposite. We are to bless. Say the truth. Say it in kindness. Say it with love. Bless people with the truth. Bless them. Do good. Help people. Be as kind and generous as you can. And then suffer. You know what that is? That's what that is. That's conquering. You want to be a superhero? This is the way to be a superhero. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. Dear friends, Peter says, according to tradition, they crucified Peter upside down. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what the history writers said in the church, in the early centuries of the church. They crucified Peter upside down. They were going to crucify him, and he asked to be crucified upside down. He wanted to be crucified out of respect for Christ. That's what they say. I don't know. I know that Peter said this. At a time of persecution, Peter's writing, the church is being persecuted. When Peter wrote this, they were rounding up Christians in Rome, and they were marching them into the garden area of Nero's gardens, and they were strapping them up to poles and setting them on fire to light the night. Peter says this, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. Quite literal. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. It would seem strange to be part of this wonderful, loving group of and all you're trying to do is save people's souls, and all of a sudden the soldiers are coming and rounding you. and taking you to your doom, to your death. It would seem strange. But Peter says, no, don't think of it as strange. It's not strange. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. Now, I don't know if that strikes you like it does me, but the idea that I can participate in the sufferings of Christ, man, that blows me away. The privilege of suffering with Christ. To be enjoined in that battle against evil. To stand up to it. And through the sacrifice of Christ, overcome it. To defeat it. Through suffering. Like He did. That's the way we're supposed to think about this. That's how you prepare yourself. That's how you go into these confrontations. Not with malice. Not with the expectation that you're going to dominate that person and you're going to force them to accept your way of thinking. No, that's probably not going to happen, and it's not the way that you should approach it. Tell the truth. Speak the truth. Suffer with Christ. And rejoice. Verse 14, 1 Peter 4, 14. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. It doesn't feel like that at the moment. I know. You're being insulted and your ears are burning and you just want to, you're gritting your teeth and you just want to say the most hurtful and insulting thing that you can to say in return. But Peter says in that same context, he says, you know what, that's not what Jesus did. When Jesus was insulted, He blessed. When Jesus was mistreated, He responded with kindness. That's what you do. That's what you do. And you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. What an amazing privilege that would be. I want to end by reading some verses in Revelation. Revelation was written at a time of persecution. It's written about persecution. Again, written at a time in which Christians are routed up, they're being arrested. Christianity is illegal. It would be illegal in the wrong. The next 200 years, more. Didn't wipe out Christianity, didn't stop it, but thousands upon thousands of Christians died. And Revelation is written at the beginning of that process in order to prepare Christians for it. Revelation 2, 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is Jesus. Jesus is the one who's speaking here, and He is saying this to the churches. And He's saying, to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, what does He mean by conquering? I know some translations say overcome, he who overcomes. It's the word nakano. It means to conquer, to defeat. Well, wait a second. Is Jesus saying, okay, Christians, I want you to start these guerrilla groups and start arming yourselves and start an insurrection and overthrow the Roman government? No, He's not that at all. He's talking about dying. He's talking about being arrested. You're hauled before the magistrate. The magistrate says, deny Christ, earn some insult, or we're going to kill you. Well, how do you win in a circumstance like that? You stand there and you say, I'm not going to do that. I'm a Christian. And then you die. That's conquering. But in conquering, to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's the way that works. All of these passages, in, by the way, in 2 and 3, all of these letters in the same admonition, and we're going to see them. And all of them are connected to, parallel to something at the end of the book of Revelation, which talks about heaven. Revelation 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death. First death, that's going to hurt. But the second, being cast, won't hurt you. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. Verse 26. The one who conquers and who keeps my works till the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. The one who conquers will be clothed, verse 5 of chapter 3. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot out his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. To stand before others and confess Christ in the crucible of persecution, that assures you, that guarantees you, that when you stand before the throne of God, Christ will confess your name. Your name. This is one of mine. Revelation 3 and verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God. 21. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. You know how Jesus conquered? You conquered, right? You know how we conquer? We do this. We do good. We tell the truth. Honor God. We worship him. And maybe we suffer. But then we get to sit with Jesus on his throne. Chapter 12 and verse 11, and they have conquered. It's talking about conquered saints. They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. It's a matter of what you love. Do you love Christ? Do you love God? Do you love his church? Do you love him even more than your own life? And finally, Revelation 21 and verse 7. Right there at the end of the book, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God. And he that is what that is. And there won't be any question when this comes to pass who the winners are and who the losers are. But in order to be one of the winners, you have to suffer in this life, sometimes persecution. And it may come to you. It may come to you sooner than you know. But let me ask you a question. Are you going to stay true to the Lord? Are you? How true are you to the Lord now? I mean, if suddenly it became illegal to assemble with the saints, just how out of compliance would you be? Maybe it wouldn't make much of a difference to you. It should. To face this persecution, brethren, I'm suggesting that we need to take a running start at it. We need to get more devoted. We need to get more faithful, more committed to our Lord, and more insistent upon representing Christ in our life. We should. And if that's true for you, then make up your mind that's what you're going to do. Don't shrink back from this challenge. Don't do it. Make faith and rejoice. And be glad. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to charge you up and encourage you to look at with joy, but with sobriety and honesty. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one. Declare your faith in Jesus today. Acknowledge him. And join in the battle, because the battle belongs to the Lord. And you want to be on the right side. You want to acknowledge Christ today by being baptized into his name for the forgiveness of your sins. Come as you will. Win that victory. Come as we stand and sing.